Well, God's grace and his mercy and his peace are all yours through our Lord and our Savior, our King, Jesus Christ. And I pray he opens our hearts and our minds as we hear his word. That word for today comes from our gospel reading in Matthew 17, the story of the Transfiguration. Specifically, what happened that marked that moment when God revealed his full glory in Jesus Christ. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. That's our text so far. I wanted some kind of artistic rendering that we could look at that might begin to describe what the disciples saw that day as kind of a background for our talk about the Transfiguration this morning. And I looked at different works of art, and there are hundreds and hundreds of paintings of the Transfiguration. And I found this one. I thought that was probably fairly realistic because Christ is shining so brightly that the disciples are having to shield their eyes and showing also the terror that they felt at that moment. But then I began thinking about the Transfiguration and the original Greek word that was used in this passage for that word, transfiguration or change. And that word is this, metamorpho, from which we get the word metamorphosis, obviously. That's a very similar word to one that we have derived into our English language. And it means to change into a wholly different form. Not just a simple change, not just Jesus glowing as bright as the sun, but a transformation to something that we never would have expected, something completely different. Picture a caterpillar and a butterfly and how completely different those two are and how really outside of our knowledge about that, we would never look at a caterpillar and say, I can see something beautiful with two wings that would fly around coming from that little blob of goo, right? We wouldn't see that. And so I thought, maybe this artistic rendering that we need to look at that'll be the background for our talk needs to show Jesus becoming something that we would never imagine or expect. And so I found this painting from Lewis Bowman called Transfiguration, where you can see a faint representation of three figures, but there's so much otherworldliness going on, something that says to us, this is not of this world. This is something completely different. Behold, I am making a new thing. Can you perceive it? That's kind of what I got from that painting. So that's what will be our background for today's discussion. Something that would make the disciples say, we're not in Kansas anymore, right? Something like that. A true metamorphosis that is wonderful and unexpected and glorious. That's what the disciples beheld. And I'm sure it was something far different than that painting as well. But something that they never would have expected. Something completely different. Christ reveals his heavenly glory to Peter and James and John. And he does it perhaps for this reason, because in the previous chapter, in chapter 16 of Matthew, Jesus begins to tell them why he really came. He tells them that the Son of Man must be bound over and must be crucified. And the disciples don't like that one bit. They reject this man who they've been following, this Savior, this Messiah that they've been trailing behind for 3 years, drinking up every word. They reject what he says because they don't like what he's saying. They're shocked. They don't believe it. And now listen to this. They don't want to listen. And it causes them fear. Remember those two things, because we're going to talk about those in a minute. They don't want to listen to him, and it causes them fear when Christ reveals why he has really come. So the Transfiguration is Christ saying, here, let me show you what I'm talking about. Let me show you how much different this is than what you think it should be. Let me change you. Let me change what you're thinking and feeling. Let me change what you're doing and will be doing on my behalf. Believe. Don't doubt. Change. So Christ changes, perhaps in order to encourage the disciples to change as well. He is bringing about a transformation in them, preparing them for what is coming and for what they will be called to do in the world once he has ascended to his Father. Christ wants his disciples, and he wants each one of us to enter into this rhythm of existing as followers of Christ in the world, this rhythm that we'll read about in just a moment in today's text. And here's the first part of it. the first part of this two-step rhythm in verse 5 of chapter 17, as the Father himself speaks from this glowing cloud that has surrounded the mountaintop. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The disciples did not want to listen to Christ, so the Father comes and says, "Listen, listen to him. This is the Christ. This is the Son of living God. His words bring light out of the darkness. His words bring life from death. This is the man in whom, and the Savior in whom I'm going to give you faith by the Holy Spirit, that faith that holds on to the promise of salvation in Jesus Christ, that promise of eternal life. So listen." And then in response to this, the disciples are appropriately terrified, as we would probably be, terrified. So we read in verse 6 and 7, "When the disciples heard this, they fell on their face, and they were terrified. But Jesus came in a beautiful, gentle moment as the fully human Savior. He touches them. He touched them, saying, 'Rise and have no fear.'" There is the rhythm. Listen to him. Listen to the Savior of mankind. And now rise. Rise and have no fear. Having heard this promise of salvation in Jesus Christ, having seen the glory of God, rise. Make your way forward in your life, confident and trusting in God that we are his. We are promised that we are the sheep of his pasture. We are citizens of his kingdom. We are dearly loved. We are tenderly cared for. We can set aside fear and go forth, knowing that God holds us in the palm of his hand. And as Christ himself promised, no one can snatch us from him. So here's the rhythm. Listen to him. Rise and have no fear. Now, what does that mean? We can easily see in Scripture what it meant for the disciples. Exactly what they were called to do, exactly what they did in response to the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. But what does that mean for us all these years later? What does it look like in our lives to listen to Christ and to rise and have no fear? I can't tell you exactly what it means for each one of you. I can tell you what it means for me. It means that I get to do this. I get to be in this pulpit and share God's word with you. I get to share peace and love and forgiveness when you come to me with concerns about your life and about your friends and family. I get to be this bearer of the good news of Jesus Christ. And you do too. Probably not from this pulpit, but maybe some of you young men. Who knows, right? Even you older guys. It's only been 12 years for me. You never know. But more likely, there's different callings that you have, different ways to share that love and that forgiveness. I want to tell you about one way that I learned about just this past week. I'm going to call this man Pete. Pete was a resident here for a week at Our Shepherd as part of South Oakland Shelter. So Pete is homeless. And Pete was wearing a jacket and sitting in the back row over on this side so that when I stood by the door on Saturday night after worship, I could read his jacket. And it was a tribute to a friend who had died pretty young. I think he was around 30. And so I asked him about it as he came through to lead the church. I said, "Tell me about your jacket. Tell me about the man that's named on there." And so he told me the story of his friend who died in a motorcycle accident at a very young age. And that led to a 40-minute or so discussion with Pete about his entire life and about how he is rising and having no fear after having listened to Jesus Christ. And we talked for 40 minutes about that close, because Pete's bubble was very small, smaller than my bubble. But I thought, okay, if this is the way Pete wants to share his life with me, I'm going to go with it. Pete was born virtually on the streets of Detroit. Didn't know his father. His mother was a drug addict. His mother kind of talked to him about Jesus. It was something kind of in the background, but the problems she had and the problems that he developed, having been born in that environment, really kind of overshadowed anything about Christ as he grew up. And so people his age and his situation often become involved in drugs, and so that's what he did. That's what he did to make money. That's what he did in his free time. Because when you sell drugs, you probably are going to end up doing drugs, and that's what Pete did. And people got shot around him. That's what happened. It just was part of life on the streets, that one day your friend might be there, the next day he might not be. Until one day when Pete himself tried to sell drugs to a man who decided, I want the drugs and the money, so I'm just going to go ahead and shoot you. And so he shot Pete twice in the chest and in the stomach and left him for dead. And if it had not been for someone, some good Samaritan who found him, dragged him to a place where he then could be taken to the hospital, he wouldn't be with us now. But that did happen, and he was saved. And God used that moment to ignite that flicker of faith that perhaps still was there, to bring the right people into his life, to hear God's word, to listen to him. And so that tiny spark of faith grew into a flame, and Pete saw that he had to turn his life around. And not only that, but part of rising and having no fear, besides turning his own life around, was trying to help others. And Pete decided that his ministry would be to approach people that he knew had shot others. Approach these people who had shown a propensity for taking the lives of other people with a gun, and encouraging them with the word of Jesus Christ to turn their lives around. Let's do that. Sometimes he would approach people who had just shot someone. I'm talking like the barrel of the gun is still warm. When he approached that person fearlessly and said, you've got to change. This is enough. You can't do what you're doing. Turn your life around, and here's how you're going to do it. You're going to do it through Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to do it for you. Now, that might sound like a dangerous situation to you. It sure did to me. And I said that to him, and he said, well, no, if you approach those guys with confidence and strength, it's okay. They respect that. If you approach them in fear and weakness, that's when they shoot you. And I said, well, this doesn't be for me, apparently. So this was what Pete saw as his calling, as he listened to God and then rose and went forward with no fear. How do you respond to that? You know, my wife Kim and I talked with him for a moment longer. We prayed together, and then he went down the hallway to spend the night in the library where he was sleeping. And my response, once he left, was to emotionally break down, because I couldn't handle even hearing it. It was too much for me to even manage. And I thought, how could I even consider doing something like that if I can't even listen to it without reacting so powerfully? It's okay. That's not my calling. My calling and listening and rising and fearing no more, it's this. It's what God has called me to do here. And you all can rest easy that I'm not going to ask you to approach gunmen in Detroit and tell them to turn from their wicked ways. That's what God has called Pete to do. Praise the Lord. And I pray for his safety. And I pray for the people that he, by God's grace and by God's leading, has begun to turn around, who have actually come to church with him and have said, at least said, that they want to turn away from their lives and change and become followers of Christ. That's where God put Pete. Now, where has God put you? What does it look like in your lives as you rise and have no fear, as God has transformed each one of you? Well, it's pretty simple. He's put you where you are right now, here right now, as we listen to God's word together. But then as you go out in the world, your corner, your little spot, your place, your vocation, where God has called you to serve others and serve him in this world, and he's put people there. And God says, listen to me, listen to my word, and now encouraged in your faith, transformed by Jesus Christ as carriers of his love, his grace, his forgiveness, now bring that out to them. It's just that simple. and no pressure to make any change whatsoever. And I can tell you, Pete has had some people he talked to that have not changed. He's got three nephews that he's still working on. All three of them in their early 20s or late teens have been shot at least once as they sell drugs in Detroit. And he's desperately trying to get the change into them, you know, by sharing God's word with them before one of them dies. But he's not sure that he'll be able to. It's because he understands, and we do too by God's word, that as we heard in last week's epistle lesson, Paul plants, Apollos waters, but God gives the growth. We plant and we water, and God gives the growth. God does it. All he says is carry that seed of forgiveness, of grace, the good news of Jesus Christ, carry that out and plant it, or water it, or both. Sometimes you're both, sometimes you're one or the other, but just do that, and then God gives the growth. That's our calling in this world. That's the change that he's worked in us. And I love this verse that describes change God has done in us, because it is complete, it is absolute, it is that metamorphosis that we see in this painting in the background. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The old is not just dwelling along with the new. The old has passed away, and we are changed, and we are transformed. Christ's transfiguration gives us this transformation. As we see Christ transfigured, his metamorphosis on the mountain today, he shows us who he is, and therefore, because we are children of God, he shows us who we are. So his transfiguration helps us to see our own transformation. The transformation that is because of him, in him, through him, for him. It's all about Jesus Christ. And so today I pray, today and every day, that he blesses each of us to be the part of the work that he is already doing, that he allows us to participate in the growth that he gives through his word as he uses us to plant and to water. And as he transforms hearts and lives and brings the lost into his kingdom for eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen.